1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for the opportunity to be in your house tonight and for bringing us all here. Lord, we know that that is a blessing from you. And this church has survived for so many years as a direct result of your hand on this church. And God, we want to thank you and praise you for that. We know that the reason this church exists is not because of a man or not because of anyone special here. It's all because of you and your Holy Spirit. And so, God, we want to thank you and praise you for that. Lord, I also pray that you'd bless the sermon, Lord, that you'd use it in your hands, and, Lord, that it would speak to someone tonight. Please help me as I give it, and Holy Spirit, please guide my words and my thoughts. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. You know, God, in those verses, he tells us that we need to be careful. We need to be careful of being overconfident in our Christian life. And you might be a new Christian here. You might have been coming to church for just a couple weeks. Maybe this is your first time at church, or maybe some of us, this is your millionth time at church. You know, but you're just as in danger as that new Christian, if not more. And God tells us to be wary of being overconfident in our Christian life. Satan wants to deceive us, and he wants us to believe that we're invincible. And I'd like to encourage you tonight, don't let Satan fool you, because you're not invincible. We are all under Satan's attack, and Satan is very, very aggressive in his attack on Christians, especially a church like this where, you know, we go out on weekends, we share the gospel, we're trying to bring other people into church. Satan hates that. Satan hates what we do on the weekends on street ministry and what we do on Sunday afternoons at the nursing home. God hates it when we go to the neighborhoods and bring kids on the bus. Satan hates that. So he's after us, and he wants to deceive us. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Be sober and be vigilant. Tonight, I'd like to ask you a question, and I want you to think about it. You don't have to answer. But the question is, what is your weakness? What is your weakness? And the answer to that question is a little bit different for everyone here. Your weakness, more than likely, it's going to be something that's different than mine. My weakness, it's going to be something different than yours. But let me prompt you tonight and say that Satan definitely knows the answer to that question. Satan knows what your greatest weakness is. And as we just read in that verse, he's a roaring lion. He wants to devour you. He wants to take you down. And so, no doubt, because he hates the Lord, and because he hates what we do here, he's going to do everything he can to go after your weakness. Sun Tzu, in The Art of War, the book of ancient military tactics, said, "So in war, the way is to avoid what is strong and attack what is weak." And so, you know, Satan's not going to go after your biggest strength, he's going to go after your weakness, right? So what is your weakness? What is your weakness tonight? Tonight we're going to explore how Satan exploited the glaring weakness of the Bible's strongest man. You might have guessed it right there. We're going to talk about Samson tonight. Let's go to Judges chapter 13, verse number 1. Judges chapter 13. The title of my sermon tonight is Flirting with Philistines. Judges chapter 13, verse number 1. All right, it says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. So in the beginning of Judges chapter 13, we see that Israel is under the captivity of the Philistines. And God saw that they were under captivity, and he wanted to raise up a deliverer for them. Let's read verses 2 through 5. "And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." So we see there that God had prepared a deliverer for Israel. He saw that they were under captivity, he heard their cries, and he raised up a deliverer for them in Samson. And he did a miracle through Samson's mother, who was barren. God did a miracle and gave her a son. We're going to skip down to verse number 24. "And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol." So we see that God delivered up someone for it to free Israel from their captors, and we see that God blessed Samson, and that God had his hand upon him. So from first reading this chapter, we see that Samson has all this potential, and God's hand is clearly on him. And God wants to do great things through Samson. We're going to read Judges 13, verses 1 through 7. We're going to see that Samson's weakness starts to show itself. Judges chapter 13. Oh, that's wrong. 14, 1 through 7. "And Samson went down to Timnath, and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and mother, and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me to wife. Then his father and mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, Get her for me, for she seems like a really godly woman. She seems like she would make a great Proverbs 31 wife. Well, that's not what it says, is it? It says, For she pleaseth me well. Samson was worried about what pleased him the most. And we see from his decision making, which was less than we shouldn't follow his decision making. His criteria for a wife was what pleased him and what pleased his eyes. Verse number 4. "But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord, that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Then went Samson down and his father and mother to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well." So Samson chose a wife purely based on the physical. That sounds like a great idea, doesn't it? He didn't listen to what his father and his mother told him. They said, hey, God doesn't want you to do this. This is a terrible idea. You know, why wouldn't you choose a godly wife, someone who's going to help you? But Samson didn't listen. He only cared about what pleased his flesh. So here we start to see Samuel's weakness start to arise, and we're going to see how Satan is going to use that later on in the story. Deuteronomy 7, verses 1 through 6. Not only did Samson not listen to the counsel of his parents, but he didn't listen to God's word as well. Deuteronomy 7, 1 through 6. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites and the Girgashites, and the Amorites and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver thee before them, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn thee away from thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. So in those verses, God tells us to stay away, to be careful about who we marry. And it's a very, very serious topic, very serious decision, the second most decision we'll make in our lives. I'm glad that I married a wife who supports me and is glad when we go to church every Sunday. And she's glad when we read the Bible and pray together. God tells us to avoid marriage to someone who is unsaved. I've heard Christians say, well, I can date this person, they're not saved. I can convert them, and you know, I can start bringing them to church. But God says in verse number 4, for they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. God says that that unsaved person is going to turn away your heart, not the other way around. And so Samson had not listened to what God had said on the topic. Genesis 21, 24, verse number 1, I'm sorry. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. And then lastly, 2 Corinthians 6, verse number 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols, for ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So we see that Samson only cared about what pleased him. He didn't listen to his counsel of his parents. He didn't listen to the counsel of God's word. He only cared about what pleased him. How about us? How are we when someone corrects us? When someone says, hey, you need to check what you're doing there. Say, oh, but I love doing that. It pleases me. It makes me happy. You know, we need to be careful how we keep our flesh in check. Because the flesh is never satisfied. It's never satisfied. It will keep going and keep going until it can't go anymore. Let's go to Judges chapter 16. Just recently, last week, a pastor who was went to the same Bible college that I went to, and I went to some of his went to college with some of his family. He's a pastor, and the other week he had molested a family member and took his own life shortly thereafter. And you wonder, how could something like that happen? How could a pastor do something like that? But it started off small. And that issue that grew into something big, it always starts off small. Satan is very crafty. And we have to guard ourselves that he's not going to let something small slip into our lives. We have to be extremely wary. Judges chapter 16, 1 through 4. We see that Samson continues to fall into sin. Verse number 1. Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there an harlot and went unto her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson is come hither, and they compassed him in and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight and arose at midnight and took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. So we see in the space of four verses, Samson's with two different women there. Obviously we know who Delilah is because we know the story, but she would cause his downfall later on in the story. Let's see here. We're going to read verses 5 through 21. I know it's a lot of scripture. Hope you don't mind that tonight. Sure hope you don't mind that. A lot of scripture. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green withes that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withes which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he broke the withes as a thread of tow is broken when it toucheth the fire. So his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liers in wait abiding in the chamber, and he brake them from off his arms like a thread. And Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web, and she fastened it with the pin, and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he waked out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. And she said unto him, how canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, For I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man." We see there that Samson gave away the secret to his strength, which was the covenant, the special promise and bond that he had with the Lord. He gave that away and threw that away in a moment. In verse number 18, "And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, 'Come up this once, for he has showed me all his heart.' Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, 'The Philistines be upon thee, Samson.' And he awoke out of his sleep and said, 'I will go out as the other times before and shake myself.' And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house." We see there that Samson gave away his secret, and lo and behold, Delilah cuts his hair and breaks the covenant that he had with the Lord, and his strength was gone. And I think it's interesting that at the end of verse number 20, that he didn't even realize that the Spirit of the Lord wasn't with him. You know, that's how sin is with us. It sneaks up very quickly and without us even realizing it. And before we know it, realize that we're out of church and things aren't like they were before. We wonder, oh, why am I so disconnected with God? Why does it seem like God doesn't answer to my prayers? Or why do I not want to read the Bible or pray anymore? Well, it's because we have sin in our life. And because we have that rift, that boundary between us and the Lord. There's something in the way. Proverbs chapter 5, verses 1 through 13. What's your weakness tonight? Samson's weakness was the strange woman. We're going to read in Proverbs chapter 5 about the strange woman. Proverbs 5. "My son, attend unto wisdom, and bow thine ear to mine understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house. Lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. And thou mourn at the last, when thine flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me." So Solomon warns us in those verses to beware of the strange woman. And the strange woman in the Bible is a picture of sin. Now, like I said earlier, that we all have a weakness, and that might be different for each and every one of us. This verse applies to what that is. And Satan is very subtle. Just like the serpent in Genesis, he knows the right words to use on you to try to trick you into eating the forbidden fruit. And the strange woman, she knows the right words to say to flirt with the young man to try to trap him. And so verse number 8 says, "Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house." We have to be very careful in the Christian life what we come near to. You know, we might not necessarily partake in something, but God tells us not even to get near the temptation. We shouldn't even come close to where we could be tempted in that area. And so we're going to see back in Judges that Samson's weakness brought an end to his life and an end to the plan that God had for the children of Israel. Chapter 16. Oh, that's Joshua. Whoops. One of these days I'm going to start using bookmarks. I think I say that every single sermon. There's 16:28. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and on the other with his left. And Samson said, Let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might. And the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of his fathers came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the burying place of Manoah his father. And he judged Israel 20 years. You know, reading this story of Samson, we see that God did a lot through Samson. And even though we're in sin, a lot of times, I should say all the time, God will bring about good things in our lives. The Bible says that all things work together for our good. So God was able to do some great things through Samson's life, but imagine what he could have done if he hadn't have broken his covenant, if he would have guarded himself, and if he would have listened to his parents' advice and what the Bible had for him. Imagine what he could have done with his life. I think he could have done a lot more. And you know, his final act was committing suicide and taking out some of the Philistines with him. But I believe God could have done so much more for him if he would have guarded himself and had listened to the counsel in his life. Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You might think to yourself, "Oh, I don't have a weakness like that. I don't have something that Satan could use against me like Samson had." Well, don't listen to your heart, because your heart is deceitful. And Satan would love nothing more for you to be overconfident and to think that there's nothing in your life that Satan can't use against you. 2 Corinthians 11:13-14. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Satan will transform himself into an angel of light. So you'll think, oh, you can trust him. I saw an angel. I hear that one all the time on Straight Street. They're like, oh, an angel. I saw one. I was like, yeah, you probably did. Don't know if it was the Lord. Most likely it wasn't. We have to be careful of who we're listening to, right? James 4, verse number 6. That should be 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If we resist the devil, if we walk in the Spirit, we're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. And Satan will flee from us. God has given us the victory. And I'm so grateful that we have the Bible. God's given us the Holy Spirit. And he's given us the ability to guard our heart. If we try to do it in the flesh, if we try to do it by coming to church and trying to be a good person, you know, you say, oh, I do all these things for the Lord. I work really hard. You know what? You're doing it in the flesh. Only God can help us keep our heart and keep us on the right path. So let me ask you again, before we close, what is your weakness? I'm going to pray. And then I think Brother Cohan is going to come up and do the prayer time. But let's pray real quick before that. Dear Jesus, thank you for the stay with us today and for the time to be in your service. I just pray that you would bless the rest of the service, help it to go smoothly, and for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.